Finance Committee to order. It's 1:35 on Friday, Thursday, February 10th. We're going to continue our discussion on House Bill 76. We do have the sponsor here, Representative Samuels. And Representative Samuels, I see on the little cheat sheet here that we have Pat Davison is with us with the ledge audit. Matt Robus, Director of Division of Wildlife Conservation. Good. Major Starboard is teleconference. Rick Urien is here. Yep. Okay. Sally Sadler is here and Jennifer Strickland.
Jennifer didn't make it.
Okay. So we got you guys are here. So that's you're well represented. Okay. Very good. Why don't we kind of pick up where we left off yesterday? And oh, I'm sorry. For the record, we have Representative Holmes, Representative Kelly, Representative Foster, Representative Hawker, Representative Jewell, and myself, Co-Chairman Meyer. Let's pick up where we left off yesterday, when I think we were asking some questions of Representative Samuels. We've got a couple amendments that have been submitted. We also have a new fiscal note. We can go over the fiscal note too. So with that, Representative Samuels, was there anything that you wanted to add that you didn't have an opportunity to yesterday?
No, sir.
Okay, good.
Talked with plenty.
All right. Representative Holt.
Mr. Chairman, you said that we had a new fiscal note. We do?
Yes.
I don't have one. I don't believe. Is it another zero?
Oh, okay, thanks. That was over on
this. It's all right.
Oh, that didn't sound good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And for the record, we have the Vice Chairman Stokes. Okay.
Didn't miss it.
Does the committee have any additional questions for the sponsor or for any of the folks that I mentioned online? Representative Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, on page 7 of the bill, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I talked to the sponsor about it at the break here, I think in line 30, the deletion of or at the end of line 30 was a drafting error. And in talking to the sponsor, I believe he agreed to that. And if it takes a motion, Mr. Chairman, let me know, and I would so move.
Let's go ahead and make that motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that on line 30, where it says, be accepted as part of the required 10 years hunting experience, semicolon, and then they deleted the or, I would amend that by putting the or back in.
So that would be conceptual motion amendment number 1. Any objections? Okay, seeing none, that is done. All right, any other Representative Stokes?
Thank you, Chairman Meyer. Representative Samuels, there was a little bit of discussion yesterday on the issue of the amount of the fine threshold. $1,000 level. Did you give any thought to any flexibility into that? I think it's on page 4 on line 23.
Through the chairman, Representative Stoltz, I believe there's public safety on board. I did talk to the troopers yesterday, and they had some concerns with the adjustment, but I'll go with that.
Okay, Major Starboard, are you with us?
Mr. Chairman, I am.
Okay, let's see, can we turn him up a little bit? Okay, did you hear the question of Representative Stoltz? I'm sorry, did you hear the question?
I did not hear the question.
You did hear the question?
Did not.
Oh, you did not, okay. Representative Stoltz, can you repeat your question?
Mr. Chairman, I can't repeat it because I can't remember exactly what I said.
Come as close as you can.
Okay. It had to do with the discussion yesterday, the language on page 4, line 23, the the $1,000 amount for the amount of fine, the previous for the aggregate total of offense dollars in offense fines over the 12-month period. And there was some discussion about raising that threshold, perhaps to $2,000. Certainly a subjective total that with some arbitrariness, but some comments perhaps.
Through the chair, yeah, my apologies. I did hear the question and remember it from the previous. I thought there was a question specific to today. Yeah, we have had discussions, and I also passed on Johnson's $2,000 suggestion for that first section of in lieu of $1,000 to several of our people, including our the head of our investigative unit for wildlife, and with the current commander of the Bureau of Wildlife Enforcement, and we do not have objection to it being replaced with $2,000, and in fact. We can cite a couple of cases where, in the that federal arena, where arena where people have gotten over $1,000 fine for misdemeanors that would this threshold would go above that, and it would probably alleviate the other question of whether or not. There was unintended consequences that hadn't been thought out relative to including the federal inclusion in this language. As far as we can tell, that would satisfy pretty much anything we can think of.
Just a very quick follow-up, Bob. So is there a possibility, given that in order to not be overly capricious, that there's been an under assessment of the fines, this might bring it about actually more appropriate level of fines in some cases by allowing it to go to the $2,000 level?
Through the chair, we believe that going to $2,000 would not objectionable and would alleviate some of the problems that potentially could occur. It still would be up to you guys, to the legislature, as to where the break is for when a bad person convicted of a crime should not be a guide and paid to take other people out and not break the law. But for us, from an enforcement standpoint, we have no objection to it being 2,000, and we think it would be appropriate.
Well, thank you, sir. That was my best attempt to share the responsibility, but I'll take it myself.
Did you want to make a conceptual amendment?
I'll make, Mr. Chairman, so I'll make a specific amendment.
Okay.
On page 4, line 23, strike 1,000, replace it with 2,000 at the sponsor's urging.
Okay, that would be, amendment number 2.
Just to clarify the record, is that at the sponsor's urging?
No, let me object to your amendments. We'll discuss it. Go ahead, Rep. Zavala.
Is that at the sponsor's urging? It shows up on the record. Sarcasm doesn't show on the record.
I would defer to the chair, Representative Wyrock Stoltz, and the members. I would defer to the experts in the field that just testified. If they don't have a problem with it, then I don't have a problem.
Sorry.
Thank you, Representative Wyrock. And is there any other questions about the amendment? Comments? Okay. I'm going to withdraw my to the amendment. For the record, Representative Wyrock has joined us.
Nick of time.
Okay. Let's see. We can go on to Representative Jewell's amendments, or did you have a comment, Representative Kelly?
Just in, Mr. Chairman, sure. Just in that same line where we say or federal, just a peeve of mine having the feds having anything to do with our game. What motivated someone to stick that in there?
Through the chair, I'd like to get comments of the officer, but generally speaking, we have so much federal land here that you don't want somebody who's a bad actor on some federal land and getting fined.
not getting the same punishment as somebody who could be yards away from with the same behavior.
Without naming any particular unit or anything or any particular federal officer, there's one that I can almost imagine following a guy around and wait until he did whatever the Fed thought was worth $2,000 just so they could get him out of the refuge area. So I guess I probably will back off if you think that the sponsor thinks that needs to be in there, but I don't like it.
It was in there for that reason, through the chair. It was in there for the specific reason that we've just got so much federal land that the behavior in one area and behavior in another area should be similar penalties on there. So there were reasons that we put it in there.
Withdraw mine.
Okay. Very good. Representative Jewell, would you still want to bring forward your amendments?
Yeah, I just have a question. Would this not be Amendment Number 3?
That's correct. Amendment Number 3.
Which one?
The one
that was marked Amendment Number 1. Well, now it becomes Amendment Number 3. Yep. Mr. Chairman, I would move Amendment Number 3.
Okay. Amendment Number 3 has been moved and objected. Go ahead.
Just for clarification, Amendment Number 3, Amendment Number 3, would be the makeup of the board to increase the proposed number from 7 to 9. So you would add an additional private landowner, bringing that up to 2, and an additional public member, bringing that also up to 2. And that's as the current makeup as it is right now, is 2 guides, 2 transporters. And given, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I think initially the enormity of what these guys are going to be doing, as broad a representation as we can get from the diversity of the state, will be a good thing. And it's, I understand there's going to be some additional expense for 2 more people. But I think for the work that they will do, it would be well worth it. And I'd ask for member support.
Thank you, Representative Jewell. Sponsor, comment?
Yeah, I would tend to agree, Mr. Chairman. The inherent tension within the industry is between the transporters and the guides, which is why we leveled out so that the number was equal. And by adding this, you can make sure that the industry then isn't controlling, because if the guides and the transporters together agree on something, that they will run the board. One of the criticisms when the board died was, quite frankly, the potential to become a good old boys club. And that was one of the things we try to avoid. And I think the amendment would help going along that lines by spreading it out, and you'd have to reach more of a consensus with the board. But the downside, of course, is the bigger the group, as we know with 60 people, the bigger the group, the harder to reach the consensus. But generally speaking, I would tend to agree with Representative Jewell's amendment.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion on Amendment Number 3? Does the objection maintain?
I don't, Mr. Chair.
Withdraw. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kelly.
Just the additional expense and the additional going from 7, which is a very workable group, to 9. We trust lawyers to regulate themselves and accountants to regulate themselves, and we've got a pretty balanced group here, it seems to me, that once upon a time worked fairly well. What I'm concerned about is the whole area of hunting and game management has so many people shooting at it that to add more of these public and landowner types to the equation just seems to me that you get not an ability to move forward more fairly and more quickly, but you just put some glue in the process. So I would just speak against the amendment.
Okay, I believe Representative Weirach has withdrawn his objection. Do you object to the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right. Representative Kelly has the objects to the amendment. Any other discussion? Representative Stoltz?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think I'm going to join my Fairbanks colleague. The extra public member is fine, even if it's an eight-member person. I member can also be a landowner, and it's, I don't mind having an eight-member board, and if it takes five to get to a decision, that's fine, too. That means more consensus than ever, but I guess that's just another subjective compromise, I think. You know, eight is better than seven, perhaps, and it has to have just the public member on there. Yeah. Not offering that as an amendment, that's why I'm not going to support the amendment.
Okay, very good. Another discussion, Madam Clerk. Read the roll, please.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Representative Hoffer? No. Representative Jewell? Yes. Representative Kelly? No. Representative Moses? Yes. Representative Stoltz? No. Representative Wyra? Yes. And Representative Meyer?
Yes.
Okay, amendment passes. For the record, Representative Moses has joined us. Better put you on the record since you voted to. Okay, so amendment three is completed. Amendment four, Representative Jewell.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment four.
Okay. Been objected. Discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is about accessing information. And what we're getting here, so that there's no mistake, is getting aggregate information, not the confidential information that the department gets, but the aggregate information in game management unit in areas where these activities are going on. Currently, for instance, in our borough, the Northwest Arctic Borough, we requested information on the harvests of certain drainages and the transporters and the guides, and it hasn't been forthcoming. It's tough information to get. But yet, at another level, we're also charged with providing input on at a local level for providing advice to the local advisory councils to look out for those resources. And track things like user conflict and all of that area. And this would really be helpful information to get, not in its confidential form, but in its aggregate form, Mr. Chairman. And that is very important, I think, to get to the various municipalities or political subdivisions.
Okay, thank you, Richard Jewell. Sponsor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As long as it's in the aggregate form, the number of animals taken or the information from an area, I think it's probably a good thing. But as long as we're clear that you don't get into somebody's business activities by saying, you know, Stoltz's client's got X number and Meyer's client's got X number, that's not too appropriate, I don't think, when you get into somebody's individual business. But in the aggregate, which is what the intention is, then I don't think we've got a problem with that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think, isn't the problem is if the outfitter is a business, doing business in this political subdivision, and the political subdivision has a way to assess tax against that entity, it would be entitled to obtain the business records of that entity notwithstanding this amendment? Isn't that right? I mean, political subdivision can always get the records of the business if they want to, say, determine what its economic impact is and whether they're paying the right amount of property tax or sales tax or whatever. I mean, I'm not really sure what, maybe this is the maker, what really is going on with this amendment? Why do we want to get a political subdivision additional ability to get information that it has been enough they already have?
Representative Phil.
Let me give you some examples of this, on the ground examples of what we see because we lack information. And I appreciate your question because that thought never entered my mind. We only have one area, in our, for instance, in our area that pays a tax, and that's paying
the bill. I didn't give anybody a tax idea.
So here's the example. Hunters come into a particular drainage, and after 1 year, 2 years, I believe, there are no more animals in that drainage to be harvested. And if you can't access that information, because then they're moving to the other drainages. And you know, you want those resources to be sustainable for everyone. Because if they're sustainable and people can come back year after year after year, and everybody benefits from that. But right now they're being over-harvested. And there's huge concentrations in particular areas. And one of the reasons that we got this in here for the departments is because some of the departments are talking to each other. And there's certainly, at least currently, when that information is being requested, it isn't forthcoming. And so it's to those issues.
Sure.
Go ahead.
The question is what political subdivision would be in a better position to manage the game resources other than the Park and Fish and Game Commission? That's a specific duty of political subdivision that they're mostly charged with.
Well, you might, you know, here in our borough, we have the boroughs charged with land use planning. And I think because of that, they felt very strongly that this information, as they make those, and they have ordinances that deal with issues of land use, that this becomes very important. Subsistence is such a big use, big use. And then, you know, you have these inherent conflicts, and I'm not really getting, I think, to your question, but on the other hand, they are charged with that power, they have assumed that power, and they feel that this would be helpful to them in addressing those issues.
Anything else, Representative Barber? Okay, Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Chairman Meyer, Representative Jewell. I was looking at my political jurisdiction. I'm very comfortable having the Mat-Su Game Advisory Board having that kind of information, but I would be scared to death if the Mat-Su Borough, under its configuration right now, had any game input. I'm not speaking of your area, but it's pretty broadly written statewide policy. And I just
well, you may have just solved the problem.
Representative Joe, I'm sorry. Go ahead. To respond to Representative Stoltz.
Thank you. As I was developing this amendment, I was, because in political subdivision, it's municipalities as well. I mean, and that's a lot of information. There's nothing that says that, for instance, if you get that information to a local advisory committee, which there are less of, generally speaking, that they could share that information because all their meetings are public in aggregate to those. But I guess the important thing here is when requested right now, this is public information and it's aggregate and they should be able to get it. But, you know, if you wanted to offer a friendly amendment, Representative Stoltz, for that to go to local advisory councils.
Well, Chairman, I guess this is on that category. Be careful what you ask for. But, I don't know what the effect. I was throwing that up for debate, and I'd like to hear some discussion from the department. I know on the advisory boards, there is generally more interest and hopefully more expertise. People are actually, it's not a political board, hopefully, although they sometimes do become political. I'd sure like to hear from the sponsor and even the Department of Fish and Game how much not to stretch this thing out.
Okay, yeah, we'll have a discussion here. We have some questions on this side. Representative Kelly, do you have a question? If not, Representative Holmquist.
Yes, I did, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that on page 20, lines 5 and 6, where it says aggregated data compiled from hunt records and activity reports may be included in reports by the department, that perhaps that covers this aggregated data, or attempted to.
I'm sorry, where are you on which line?
Page 20, line 5 and 6, lines 5 and 6, where it says aggregated data compiled from hunt records and activity reports may be included in reports by the department. That would seem to cover the aggregated side of it.
And your response?
Thank you. And again, I agree with what you're saying, but in practice it's not getting done. There are people who are not forthcoming with that information because it's not being aggregated. And therefore that information is not... but if we can... you know, I guess the question then becomes, is that being done? So that information is available.
Okay, well, who would be good for the person to ask
Mr. Robes?
Mr. Robes, yeah, he'd be good for
I think a good start.
Why don't you come on up and we'll go to Representative Holmes' question here. I'll give you a little time to formulate an answer.
I was just going to follow up on that point with Representative Jewell. As Representative Kelly says, may be included. We may say must be included. Because then if it must be included, then they can't withhold it on a whim.
Okay. Right. Let's think about that, Representative Jewell. Welcome. Let's, for the record, tell us who you are, what you do, and respond to some of your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Matt Robes, the Director of the Division of Wildlife Conservation within Fish and Game.
Okay.
And I guess the first distinction I want to draw here is that there's two different groups of information that we're talking about. And I can speak to the information collected by my department. However, this bill primarily deals with this new board plus BCEV, and I can't speak to that side of the equation. So what my department collects is harvest information. There's harvest reporting required of hunters, and we can back up towards some of the information that Representative Jewell is desiring. And the way we do it is by our hunt reports are put into a computer system, and then we can run different reports, and we can ask, you know, how many people in such and such drainage are non-residents, how many are residents. How many people mark down that they hired commercial guiding services, or at least commercial services, and then how many people mark down that they hired transportation services. So, and that information is provided in an aggregated form upon request to all sorts of people who request and organizations, but it, as I say, it falls short getting directly to, you know, how many commercial operations are operating in an area, because that's not my outfit's jurisdiction. We're looking at the harvest reporting, and while we can probably give an idea of how much guided hunting is happening in the area, it's a much less direct way of getting there. I understand that before my time at headquarters, back in the good old days, when the guide board is still in effect, there was some sort of interaction where the guide information and the biological harvest information was tied together, at least in for particular questions and issues. At the present time, I'm in charge of managing the biological harvest information side, and that's about the best I can do with the information. I actually talked to somebody from the Northwest Arctic Borough this morning, and we talked about some of the stuff that we can provide. But again, it falls short of the direct guide transport side of the equation. So I hope that clarifies some of what's been talked about here.
Thank you. Might have generated some more questions. Representative Jewell.
Just to dovetail on his comments, and that other information comes from another department, that's commercial activity aggregate, and that's the information that I wanted to clarify as being sought.
Very good. Any other questions? Well, let's stay there for now. Sure, Representative Stoltz.
This is, I guess, the sponsor and Representative Jewell, whatever order, if it was instead of trying to do the political subdivision, if it was just, if you took away the permissive and changed the language on 20 to made a shall, and so the park was mandated, would that solve the greater problem moving forward with the information as we've been in it?
Yeah. Yes.
The shortest route.
You want to withdraw your amendment and then we can go forward with that, Representative Stoltz? Well, you need to withdraw your amendment, of course.
And before I do that, as long as when we get to the shell, we're getting to the commercial aggregate data. We're looking at page 20, line 5, right?
That's correct.
Because that doesn't specify. I guess you can extrapolate that because this is a commercial board's bill, that we're talking about commercial activities, and that would then be the information that we're getting. And as long as that's understood, I think this simple change of shell would do it. So, Mr. and is that, would that be the understanding?
For the record,
tell Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Rick Green. I'm the Director of the Division of Occupational Licensing. Mm-hmm. If I understand your proposal here, you want us to do something with the hunt records that we get and extrapolate all the information from them and distribute it to someone. Is that what we're talking about?
Representative Joel?
What we would be looking at here is, and I guess the way to maybe just put this thing to rest, is basically to say aggregated data from hunt records and commercial activity reports that shall, and then complete the sentence.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, to the chair, just first of all, I want to tell you that my division recommended that hunt records go to the Division of Fish and Game because they're the people who use this information, not us. It has nothing to do with licensing at all. We now collect these reports, and they sit in a bank of file cabinets, and no one does anything with them. I think in the old days, some of the people behind me may know the history of this. In the old days, there was a time when there was a person when the original game board did this, and they were compiling the information. There was another staff person. So if you want to do this, it's going to cost you money, and I can see another position being created here if that's the desire of the committee. But whether it's in occupational licensing or fishing game, you go through these records and follow all this information. It takes time. It's a massive, massive undertaking. That's going to cost a lot.
Can I ask you that a question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Chairman Meyer, Mr. Robes, is this data that your department would want to collect and use for determining regulations and helping regulate through your fish and game regulations and seasons and so forth? Who wants this?
As a person trained as a biologist, I never say no to new information. We'd love to have data of all sorts. I think Mr. Urien is right. Wherever it resides in state government, there's going to be an additional cost to input information that presently isn't being put into a system. And we... I'm thinking on the fly here. We would certainly find ways to make this information. This information would be useful. We're also trying to make a point through the testimony I made yesterday, for instance, that the Board of Game and the department advising the Board of Game is really dealing more on the biological side than on the user conflict side, and that's why this rejuvenated Big Game Commercial Services Board would be such a nice complement to it. On the other hand, you know, we're written in here as an agency serving that board as well. I do have some serious fiscal issues this year that we're looking at, as you know, and the cost of picking this up and getting the information put in to a system is a big concern.
I'm sorry, this is still a follow-up.
And it's back to the sponsor, the intent, and the industry we're trying to help here. We're trying to solve everybody's concerns and problems. We also want to have a manageable and affordable board, and that's the way the law works. And maybe Mr. Urien can answer this. Would this be borne by this newly established board, or would this be the responsibility of the department to try to eat? What's the mechanics of this, and what does Shell cost us?
Through the chair, I think this would be borne by the state, not necessarily the board. This is information utilized for the management of game or it's not something we need to know for issuing licenses. I don't think this is a board expense. I think this is a state expense.
Okay, I'm going to go to Representative Holt and then Representative Hill. Representative Holt?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On that point, there's extra money, as I recall. Having looked through the budget in the licensing, and that extra money that's there is not at this point in time is not being used, and so there's going to be you have to adjust every other year. If I recall, you have to start adjusting down, and if I recall, we looked it up yesterday, you have about $216,000 in there. So if you added additional personnel to provide for that information for what Mr. Representative Jewell wants to have his information, you have the money to provide for it at this point in the budget. You already have it allocated someplace in there, and you have funds. So I'm just wondering what it would cost, or what are we losing if we don't provide this information? Are we losing the opportunity to know whether or not we have extra animals to harvest, or under our current conditions, are we doing that anyway? And I don't know who to.
You probably want to address the extra money at the budget.
Sure. Representative Holmes, we're not authorized to hire anybody without your approval.
That's
we
correct.
Have to approve it and expend it. We're not going to go out and hire people without first getting approval from the people behind the. In front of me here.
But we understand.
We have money, but that money is carried forward and then it goes, it's being spent in other places, I can tell you that.
You want to answer his second part of Representative Holmes' question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Mr. Holmes. The Board of Game, with information provided by the department, is always trying to manage the population sustainably, and one way or the other, and sometimes through fairly blunt instruments, we will cut harvest off so that, you know, to the best of our ability, we're not pushing populations too hard in terms of harvest pressure. This information is the type of information we're talking about here, guide client, guided hunter on the ground type of information, I think is most useful for trying to sort out conflicts between different user groups, local users, guide hunters from outside the area, non-local residents. In a lot of cases, we can manage things biologically adequately. We always, or a lot of times, we'd like more animals than we have, but we can manage that so it's a sustainable situation. But without the type of information we're talking about here, it's hard to figure out a way to let all user groups have a piece of the action, so to speak, with minimum levels of conflict and disturbance and angst. So that's, I think, where this information really helps. It's in the people management end of things.
Anything else, Ripson? Oh?
No, I just made it muddier.
Okay. Well, we can come back to you, Ripson Kelly.
I think Representative Jewell is before me.
You ready, Representative Jewell?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I wanted to have this discussion because it's information that's important, that's happening in areas to the people that continue to see that activity in those areas. And it does get to put, in some cases, it really is getting close to, not close, it's their user conflicts issues. And it would be my hope, and I'd like to say this for the record, because I know to my home district the importance, and also to the biologists in the field who've actually could use this information. But if, as the board goes along and does its work, because that's ultimately what we want to happen here. We want to get this thing moving. And I understand the constraints around the costs. But if we can get to the point, as this board does its work, that it can find a way to get this information, then maybe that should be their job anyway, part of their job. And if we can work towards that, I'm willing to pull the amendment, but with the understanding that down the line, as you said earlier, you know, if this was information that people, as the board was functioning, that we could count on some of this information getting back, then I'm willing to do that. And I don't want to beat this thing all day long. I want it to move. But I don't want to underscore the importance of having that information at the local level to the advisory boards and to the field people as they do their work. Because, and here's one of the other issues, and it's kind of separate but there. When we pull the protection people off, we're left with state troopers. And with all of the activity going on in the field, the state troopers aren't there to do fish and game wildlife stuff, or very little. The emphasis is dropped. And that's just the reality. Regardless of what we get told, that's the reality of what happens. And I happen to live in one of the hot spots in this state. And that information is important. But I will pull Amendment Number 4.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Jewell. Representative Jewell has withdrawn Amendment Number 4. Representative Kelly, do you still have a question or a comment?
In light of the withdrawal of the amendment, no, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Representative Kelly. Is there any other amendments to be made at this time? Yeah, Representative Mark.
Well, that same section that we were on, Section 31, page 20 of the original bill, I just conceptual amendment to add subsection C, forms, records, and reports required under this chapter may be disseminated, received, and stored electronically.
Representative Weirach, could you repeat what page?
Sure,
page?
Conceptual amendment in Section 31, adding subsection C. Only records and reports required under this chapter may be disseminated, received, and stored electronically.
Okay, so that would be
sure.
Conceptual amendment number 4, object, so we can have
some of the file cabinets and people.
Go ahead, sponsor. You like that one?
Mr. Chairman, that's a thumbs up.
Okay. Representative Warwick, do we have, were you able to get everything that is conceptual?
New subsection C under section 31. Forms, records, and reports required under this chapter may be disseminated, received, and stored electronically.
Okay, that's the conceptual amendment 4. I've objected. The sponsor likes it. Don't anticipate it. Well, no, this won't add any more costs since you're using the word may. Any discussion? Okay, if not, I'll withdraw my objection and amendment number 4 passes.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Conceptual amendment on section
3
of the bill, section 808-5595, board assistance.
Okay, yeah,
give us page 2 of the original bill. Instead of delineating specific agencies which may or may not be helping the board, I thought it would be more efficient to say state agencies shall provide the board. There may be state agencies like Department of Commerce and Economic Development. I mean, heck, they're in charge of marketing for states. And why should they be excluded? Department of Labor may provide data on unemployment. Why should they be excluded? I just think it's more helpful to the board and the bill in general.
Okay, so
to leave the Department of Fish and Game, Department of Natural Resources, Department of Law, Department of Public Safety, and replace with state agencies.
Okay, so that would be amendment number 5. Object, sponsor, thoughts?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sounds like common sense, but a lot of things. Sound like common sense. This bill sounded like common sense when I started.
Our point is right.
I don't think I have a problem with that.
Mr. Urien?
They do that anyway. So.
I guess I would agree with the sponsor. It appears to make common sense and appears to be the right thing to do. I just hate rewriting bills on in committee here, but.
Better on the
floor. Yeah, better than on the floor, correct.
If it's not broke, we're going to fix it till it is.
And Representative Wyrex. Okay, any other thoughts? Okay, seeing that, I'll withdraw my objection also, and if it passes.
Finally, Mr. Chairman, one other thing that's more significant, I think, and that is throughout this bill, there is a reference to federal agencies. For example, violation of state or federal hunting, guiding, and transportation services. Later on, the bill discusses if a person is convicted of a violation of any federal statute. Then later on, the bill discusses. I'm just going through here, just discussing where they are. If somebody knowingly enters or remains on federal land without prior authorization from some federal agency having jurisdiction over that federal land. Given what happens on the national level with people that are opposed to hunting and trapping, people with rights to the moral, spiritual value of animals that are starting to gain greater and greater purchase in our society, I am very concerned about that our jurisdiction over people that are in charge of killing and transporting animals, and this is going to be subject to the whim of the federal government. And therefore, I don't want federal law to dictate necessarily how we do our hunting and transporting here in Alaska. And this is something I mentioned to the sponsor yesterday as we discussed today about this general concern, what I see on the national level. I know people in the North Slope have been convicted of several firearm violations. They can't possess firearms, and they can't even, if search and rescue operation, possess a gun when they're among polar bears. This is a very serious issue with people living in the bush, and it's a serious concern to me. Somebody who's worried about the encroachment of federal jurisdiction over our lives here. So this is a larger conceptual issue in this bill that I wanted to get on the table, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Wyrock, do you have a specific amendment we can work on? You want
yeah.
Take
well, I guess I do have. I've highlighted every point where it exists, but I didn't want to get into debate with the sponsor on this, nor if those like Mr. Robles, who have some thoughts on this, perhaps some 2 cents can shoot it down now before I get into the conceptual amendment. I'll just soon do that rather than take any more of the committee stuff.
Okay, so we don't officially have an amendment before us, but you've heard his comments and concerns. Any thoughts?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It deals with federal hunting. Every phrase in here is dealing with federal hunting regs. And as I explained earlier with the question earlier, we don't want somebody who is, one of the points of the bill here, the Consumer Protection Act, if somebody's on federal land with a certain behavior, and strictly we're dealing with federal hunting regs, and if they're breaking the law over here, if they get caught, they get fined. And the same behavior goes on 1 acre over because it happens to be state land or private land. That you don't want this person to be able to move over here and not have the same punishment as if he'd have been caught. His brother is over here, same exact behavior. He gets caught, something happens to him, there's a consequence for his behavior. But this person, nothing happened. He does the fine, he moves over, and it doesn't go on his record for that separately. That's the thinking behind it. We have such large tracts of federal land here that you don't want one behavior being different than a different behavior because it deals strictly with the federal hunting regs. So that's the concept behind there, and I'm sure the Department of Public Safety is online here, and they can probably flesh that thought out a little bit. But I did check with Public Safety yesterday, and that's the point, is we're trying to make the industry not with various penalties for the same behavior in different parts of the state.
Comment, Representative Weirich, or would you like to have someone else?
That's, I just wanted to clear for the record. Okay. So I have no further comment on that. I did have one other question.
Question, sure. Go ahead.
Under Section 19 on page 12, the board may impose a disciplinary sanction if somebody is, a licensee has acted unethically. What's the ethical standard that's going to be used to judge whether somebody has acted unethically?
And through the chair.
Huh?
Through the chair. One of the points is there aren't no standards right now. So the board will set some ethical standards and some industry guidelines. And with the board makeup, you've got some private citizens, you got some transporters, you got some guys, they'll be able to set a guideline for unintended.
So is it the intent of this law passes that the board not sanction somebody who's acted unethically unless there's an ethical code of conduct in writing and somebody knows about it in advance?
Through the chair, yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Representative Weirich. Any other amendments? Questions, comments? Representative Kelly.
I guess just a couple of comments to Matt Robes. He mentioned that they don't always have as much game as they'd like, and that's for another day, but we might be able to help you with that, that idea, Matt. Yeah. And second thing, I guess I'm just I just wish my colleague from Juneau hadn't given up so easily on the Fed, because he found a site that I hadn't seen before. And that was for being on federal land. And I guess I could give up on the others that the enforcement people want, but if I could ask where that is to Representative Weirich.
Representative Weirich, did you hear?
Sorry, you'll have to slap my wrist.
I just found it. I was looking for your site on entering federal land. I'm willing to give up on the police issue. But I guess on page 14, line 13, this person can have his livelihood interrupted or denied if they knowingly enter or remain on private, state, or federal land. We've got the federal land in there. And I'm just a little concerned about that. Maybe one place where the federal part should be. And I just was interested in Representative Weirich's thoughts there, since he had that on his original resume.
Well, I know what last time I had a big game, which is basically you're not going to walk, is everywhere I go is federal land. And the person I hired to take me, we never ask permission of the federal government to go hunting on federal land down here, and nobody does. Holy cow.
Just Mr. Chairman, okay. I would move to amend page 14.
Wait, Richie Kelly, let's let the sponsor just have
sure.
comment to your to your to your comment before we talk about it. Okay. Thank you, sponsor.
Out of the hours of work around a round table, everybody input. When I'd like to get one of the hunters or somebody that's familiar with the permitting process, because if you're a guide, you know you're supposed to get a permit to go on XYZ refuge. I mean, that's the law of land. Are you going to have no sanction whatsoever for not following the permitting process, which is set right now? And if it's okay for the feds, you know, and then you get to the use areas, then what about the permit for the state land? And it becomes a snowball from one or not the other. And I'll let somebody who actually has to deal with the permitting process explain.
For the record, give your name.
My name is Paul Johnson. I'm a guide from Elfin Cove. We have been dealing with the feds for over 20 years on this, and we do have to have concession contracts. We do have to have permission to pay the feds. That's 3%, in fact, out of our gross research receipts on this. This is an essential part of this bill. It was in there before, and it fell through the cracks. And what ends up happening is that those who don't go through all the hoops and the dealings with the feds on this end up going on federal lands. Then any kind of enforcement on that, after we've gone through huge allocation battles with the Board of Game and so forth, and you stick in other fingers through the process, then we end up going over harvest levels, we end up going over on our permit basis, and we get put out of business. And it's
withdraw the objection, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Representative Kelly. Okay. I've given a lot of latitude here on this bill to discuss resource issues, which is fine, because ultimately it is going to impact the fiscal note on this. If there's no other amendments at this time, I would like to visit the fiscal note, because obviously that's going to change somewhat. Sally, would you like to join us, please, or Rick? Okay. One of the amendments, the one extending the board, is going to change the fiscal note somewhat. Is that correct? Yeah, expanding the board from 7 to 9.
Yes. Go ahead. Mr. Chairman, the new fiscal note that we prepared, as you'll notice, is a generic location for the members of the board. So everybody costs $1,000, no matter where they come from. And we'll make sure we do that from here on any other fiscal note.
Thank you.
We'll never make that mistake again. But so the more people, obviously, for every person you add on, you just add another couple $1,000 or whatever it is. $1,000 a meeting per person.
So, me out here. So that would be 18,000 instead of 16,000.
That's correct.
On your fiscal note.
Yes.
18,000 each year. Okay. Trying to think. Do I need to make an amendment to change this? How do we change the fiscal note? Just do it, huh? Or somebody want to move to change this from 16,000?
I'd like to move that the fiscal note reflect the prorated increase from 7 to 9.
Okay. Any objections? See none. Okay. That is taken care of. Now, I do have one other question for you on the fiscal note. Actually, it's been brought to my attention by a couple of board members. The dollar amount that you have for personal services, $77,600. Should that also be included in the operating costs? All we're showing here is just what it costs for the board members, but there's got to be some administrative costs too. And I'm wondering if that should be reflected with this $16,000.
The $77,000 is already included in our budget. What the fiscal note only reflects new costs. The cost of your legislation is. We're going to spend that $76,000 without passing the bill, this bill or not.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. But we're talking about the out years, sir. We understand this year, but then next year.
It's going to cost us 77.6 plus the 18,000. Is that correct?
Go ahead.
Yes, that's correct. The chairman, that's in our budget request for you. I'm sure it's already in our budget. Sorry, budget.
It's not through funding. Is that what we're saying?
Okay. Yeah. Sally, do you have a comment on that? Because I'm confused, to tell you the truth. I would think that in years 07 on out, you'd want to show the actual cost for this program, including the 16 or 18,000 and then the 67 or 77,000. But go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Sally Sadler, Legislative Liaison on Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. It is correct. Subsequent budgets would be the cost of the 77.6 of licensing, plus the 18,000 that it would cost to provide the travel and the meetings, the two meetings a year for the board.
Okay.
So subsequent budgets would
be. So the fiscal note then should reflect that, isn't that true? The new one?
It would just show, no, it would just, well, the new fiscal note that you have, right, the one that you have that's revised, it was 16,000, which was revised based on the assumption it would just be two meetings a year. We will go back, we will revise that to reflect the cost of $18,000 for the additional two members for the cost of their travel. I understand your question, and you know what? I need to check on that.
Okay, thank you.
I think because it's part of the governor's base budget that it is already reflected.
In this year.
Right.
But in the out years, it's not reflected because we don't have the budgets in the out years, right?
Correct.
Correct? I do understand. I will double check on that with our budget director.
All right.
Back to you. We'll reflect this.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Sally, before you leave, Rich at home, thank you for bringing that up. If you can verify that, and then also, I think, I'm not sure 18,000 is correct, because it's $1,000 per meeting, and we added two, so it'd be 4,000 more, is that correct?
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so that number should actually be 20,000.
Yeah, two meetings.
Okay.
We're going to get there.
Okay, so,
just to pierce this void here, what Mr. Yurian said, is the 77,000, is that what is budgeted within occupational licensing right now for the board? Just to clarify that, okay. That's, and so sometimes I'm slow.
Okay, I think I think we can go ahead. If there's no other, thank you, Sally. If there's no other questions, we can go ahead and move this bill out with the understanding that there's going to be a revised fiscal note coming. Reflecting that the addition of the new members to the board and then adding the 77,600 for the future years. I don't see no reason to hold the bill over just for that. So, any other discussion? Comments? Sponsor? You want to talk anymore?
No, sir.
All right.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and move out the 276. Committee with a revised fiscal note, we have to pass and agreed upon by the committee. We do the recommendations.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing none, bill passes. Thank you, Representative Sanders. Got the educated on game resources here.
Masterfully done, Rob.
Let's be quiet, guys. We're still in session here. Okay, that concludes everything for today. We are not meeting tomorrow. Monday's schedule is as such. House Bill 42, Joe Williams Sr. Coastal Trail. Len and Suzanne, could you guys just take it out, please? Until we're just about done here. Also, we're going to take up House Bill 102, Foreign Medical School Graduates, and House Bill 115, Airport Customer Facility Charges. And then on Tuesday, we have the Appropriation Bill, Senate Bill 62, Division of Elections. And also Senate Bill 56, Criminal Law Procedures. And we'll go ahead and let people start signing that. And Wednesday, bills previously heard. Thursday, it looks like there's an overview set up, joint between House and Senate. And then also that afternoon, we have we may have some education bills if they make it time from the Education Committee and tests. So With that, please sign the yellow sheet. If there's nothing else, come before the committee. Thank you. Have a good weekend. We're adjourned.